Let's talk about the primary election of 2018 with Larry Bodine of Blog for Arizona. Larry, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us. Great to see you.
It's great to see you too, John.
What do we know about the Democrats now after the primary of 2018? And how well-positioned or not so well-positioned are they for the general election in this midterm election year?
Well, I think the Democrats are in a surprisingly good position. Of course, the big question was, who turned out?
Who did turn out?
And we don't have any certified elections yet, so we don't know for certain. However, I contacted some people with the State Democratic Party, and they tell me that about 80% of the electorate was the 50-plus crowd.
Amazing, isn't it?
So,
your votes in primaries, right?
That's right, exactly.
80%.
That's right.
8 out of 10 were 50 plus.
8 out of 10. And, I was looking to see if Latinos showed out, if millennials showed up.
Did they, either one?
Well, we don't have any evidence of that yet. And I've got a number of notable things about this primary I wanted to mention to you.
Go ahead.
Number one is how many people voted for Joe Arpaio? 100,000 people voted.
You've got to be kidding.
It's shocking.
Do we have mental institutions that can handle that number? They must be locked up.
No,
seriously, for the good of all of us. Humanely, of course. We must take those 100,000 people and lock them up. We have to.
Something
for
wrong.
For our own. Joe Arpaio, crook.
That many people who
convicted crook. They send him to the U.S. Senate. Oh, my God.
And a clear-cut racist on top of that.
Of course.
Why on earth? So that really tells you something about the people that live in the state.
Yes, it does.
Second thing,
100,000 of them, anyway.
Second thing I noticed was I wanted to compare who turned out more. Was it the GOP that turned out more or the Democrats? And I have to say that in almost every statewide race, there were 100,000 more Republicans who turned out in the primary than the Democrats.
And there was more Democratic primary interest because of more Democratic candidates.
Yes.
Many of these Republicans didn't have opposition. Most Democrats did.
But if you total up the races.
The numbers, yeah.
The numbers, there'd be about
100,000 more Republicans went to the polls on primary election day between, obviously, the early balloting and primary election day. Than did Democrats. Surely.
That's right. Well, and the Republicans have another edge in the fact that they have about 150,000 more registered voters. And, so it's going to be an uphill climb, I think, for a blue wave to happen.
A couple of things. I was surprised that Leah Marquez Peterson, who won the Republican primary for Congressional District 2 to replace Martha McSally, barely got by that, and that was a shocker because the other three were not well known. We'd had DJ Morales on the air a couple of times, the former vice mayor of Douglas, and a couple of others. But I thought she'd walk away with that, but she didn't walk away with it.
No,
kind of crawled away from with it. Did that surprise you?
Yes, it did. I mean, Leah Marquez Peterson had an extremely weak showing. She only got about a third of the vote. She didn't even get a majority of the vote. And she was only about 3,000 votes ahead of the number two guy, Brandon Martin, who is a political nobody. So this doesn't really bode well for Leah Marquez Peterson. I think Tucson is going to be a bright spot for Democrats in the state of Arizona because I did a tally and the total number of Republican voters in the Congressional 2 district vote, there were 66,000 Republicans who came out and voted in the primary. However, among Democrats, there were 77,000. So in Tucson, the Democrats are definitely showing up more.
The battle between Ann Kirkpatrick and Matt Hines was bitter and just absolutely disgusting. No, really. I mean, it was a dirty, down-in-the-gutter primary battle between the two of them. How does that affect the general election with Kirkpatrick taking the nomination? I don't know what Hines is going to do. I don't know whether he's going to support her or not, but I just can't imagine not some residual that might be negative for the Democrats in Congressional District 2 because of that very, very bitter battle.
Well, it could be, and I think the reason that Kirkpatrick won that negative battle is that she did everything in print, and people seem to remember better what they see in print, whereas Matt Hines did everything on television. And a lot of people fast-forward through to TV commercials or don't watch TV, so I think that's a tactical reason why Ann Kirkpatrick won. And so you know, he's lost twice now. I kind of think that's the end of Matt Hines.
What made him so confident? I don't know whether you talked to him or not. We tried to talk to him. In fact, we talked to him almost every week through the summer that he could come back from a very sound beating 2 years ago and then spend almost $250,000 to $300,000 of his own dollars try to win this nomination. I don't know. Was he reading some tea leaves that nobody else could see? Or was he drinking tea leaves or smoking them? What was he doing?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell. You know, I don't see who Matt Hines' base was. I mean, this is a guy who was a doctor, and the primary reason he said he was running was because he would talk to patients, and they go, oh, you're Matt Hines. You know, you should run for office. But, you know, that's not something you base a campaign on. I think just Ann Kirkpatrick knocked on more doors. She had more support. She had Gabby Gifford. More money. She had Gabby Gifford's support. It's kicking in right now. The DCCC has already, that is the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, is already kicking in money to support Ann Kirkpatrick. They're already putting out ads, against Leah Marquez Peterson. I think Ann Kirkpatrick is going to have a pretty straightforward race in this. You know, she's going to be running against Leah Marquez Peterson, who's famous for her Chapter 7 bankruptcy and for her, you know, string of chambers of commerce for Latinos, although people that go to it tell me there aren't really that many Latinos that attend. So I would say it's looking good for Ann Kirkpatrick.
How good is it looking for Kyrsten Sinema, the congresswoman, fighting against Congresswoman Martha McSally for the U.S. Senate seat vacated by Jeff Flake? Well, how's that shaping up just a few days after the primary election?
It's going to be really close. I think the polling before the primary showed that they were within the margin of error when they compared them head-to-head. Sinema got 373,000 people that voted for her, and in McSally's race there were 323. So, you know, McSally got fewer votes, but then again, you know, they were split up between Ward and Arpaio. One key thing is McSally's base is basically in Pima County. That's where she got most of her votes, whereas Sinema attracts people from statewide, particularly in Maricopa County. And McSally did poorly in Maricopa County, which, you know, Sinema rocked. So it's going to be a battle of the billionaires, I think. I read that Planned Parenthood has already dedicated $1.1 million to support Sinema. And, they're doing it with digital advertising, and they're hiring canvassers to go door-to-door. And the ads are out already. I saw one today that says McSally's bad for your health. So the battle's on.
That's going to be a clash of titans, isn't it, really? I mean, that's just they're both articulate. They're both pretty feisty, and neither one of them ask quarter, give none or something. I'm just going to be fascinating to watch. I think Sinema's in this thing, don't you?
It's
hard to say.
It's going to be close. It's going to be a close call. You know, the Republican base is fired up as well. I mean, they keep hearing about the blue wave, and that drives them out
right. Just
as much as the Democrats are driven out by every time Trump tweets something, he creates a Democratic activist.
We're talking with Larry Bodine of Blog for Arizona, a progressive blog in Arizona that the Washington Post calls it the best in the state. Let's talk about the gubernatorial primary between David Garcia, Steve Farley, and Kelly Fryer. Garcia wins that race. Was Senator Farley ever in that race? Was he? He always thought, I'm there. I'm out polling Ducey, and apparently he wasn't in there at all.
No, his base. And I liked Farley. I was pretty open about that. But it turned out that his base was all here in Pima County. And all the other counties went for
Garcia. And I think
Garcia.
The Fryer vote hurt him here, too, because she took votes away from him in Pima County, which he needed to overcome what David Garcia had in Maricopa County, whatever. The irony, though, of course, is David Garcia won Maricopa and Pima County in his race for superintendent of public instruction 4 years ago and then lost the race statewide, which is impossible. If you win Maricopa County and Pima County, you win the race statewide, except in that one. So has Garcia got a chance? He's going to be outspent about 10-1.
Possibly. I think Ducey is beatable. You know, 30% of the people in the Republican primary voted for Ken Bennett.
Now, that's surprising, isn't it? Because Bennett was hardly in the thing. He didn't get his money from clean elections because of a screw-up with the Secretary of State, and it was just kind of a flawed campaign from the very beginning. But he got a lot of votes.
He got a third of them. And this is a guy who had no money and no agenda. And what I'm interpreting that to be is basically a no vote by Republicans against Ducey. And on the other hand, so looking at Garcia a little bit, he's got an organization, and this is a nation. The nation is watching this race. He's got 6,000 volunteers. He said he knocked on the, and they knocked on 40,000 doors and contacted 400,000 voters. So that is a heck of an organization, and it's part of a national trend among the Democrats. You know, you see in the Florida gubernatorial race, this guy Andrew Gilliam, an African-American gentleman, caused an upset. We also have an African-American in the Maryland governor's race, Ben Jealous. And the same thing in Georgia. Governor race, Stacey Adams is a Democratic candidate. So what you're really starting to see is, sort of the minority and Latino press, you know, they're focusing on this. And everybody's noticing that there are more Democratic candidates like Garcia running for governor.
It appears, too, that Republicans are going to stick with Trump, but Ducey's going to run with him. Gaynor's going to run with him for Secretary of State. And Martha McSally, obviously, is running with him. But, you know, these latest polling numbers on Trump, that 6 out of 10 Americans don't think he's doing a very good job as president, in fact, think he's doing a horrible job. I don't know how strong the Trump effect is in Arizona. I mean, do you?
Well, it's obviously strong among his base. You know, I remember reading an article quoting Steve Bannon, who basically said, the base is going to turn out for him regardless of what he says or does. However, Trump is not running. He's not in this race. And there's really no reason for the base to turn out because it's a midterm election. And coupled with the fact that, Ducey is viewed by Republicans as a weak candidate. You know, he said, well, there's no money for teachers. And then, well, there's a fraction of a percent. And, oh, well, now we have 20%. And I think a lot of the Republicans are saying, well, where is that money going to come from? There's no known source for that. And Garcia, I think, is going to frame the issue for Ducey. He's going to say this election is about education and funding schools and funding the universities and the community colleges. And, you know, as exemplified by the fact that his campaign vehicle is a converted school bus. So Garcia may be leading the biggest social justice movement that we've seen in Arizona in a long time.
Any of these other statewide races give Democrats any kind of hope? We're talking about Brnovich, who's the Republican Attorney General. Obviously, the Secretary of State, Michelle Reagan, defeated in the primary by Gaynor, a businessman with a considerable amount of money. Democrats have any hope of the Secretary of State or Attorney General? We talked about the governor's race, a treasurer, or Arizona Corporation Commission, because Democrats hold no statewide office at the moment.
Well, that's true, and it's been a long time since a Democrat has held a statewide seat in Arizona. So it's an uphill battle. What we can take, Democrats can take comfort in, is all the incumbents that lost their primaries. So Diane Douglas, possibly the worst superintendent of public education that we've ever had, she's out. Michelle Reagan, Secretary of State, after bungling elections for 2 years, she's out. And then Tom Ferrisi, who was the chairman, a Republican chairman of the Corporation Commission, and the big dark money candidate. He's out as well. He lost his primary. In fact, his own running mate, ditched him in the middle of the campaign.
That'll tell you something. Larry Bodine, thanks for being with us. It's great talking with you, and I really appreciate you coming in. We just have an insight here we just can't get anywhere else, and I sure appreciate you sharing your observations with us. Thanks a lot. Blog for Arizona, go to it. There's a lot of progressive information there, and a lot of information no matter what political stripe you wear.